Hello, my name is Manuel Spitschan. I'm a research group leader at the Max Planck Institute for Biological Cybernetics in Tübingen in Germany, and a professor for chronobiology and health at the Technical University of Munich. Today I'm speaking about a project that I've been working on for the past 18 months, working towards a consensus metadata standard for actigraphy and light exposure data. This collaborative project is an interdisciplinary one, spanning the disciplines of psychology, neuroscience, chronobiology, circadian and sleep science, and ultimately data and computer science. I'm very excited to present this work here on behalf of my group, and I look forward to discussing it further. In this talk, I will focus on four areas of the project, leading you from the motivation to the next steps that we have planned. First, I'll discuss the scientific background motivating this work. Then I'll describe this current state of the art for documenting and storing metadata in the field. Next, I will describe the metadata standard. And finally, I will lay out what is next on our horizon. Research over the past 40 years has identified that light exposure is a dominant driver of our physiology and behavior. This is because of a pathway that connects the eye with its photosensitive cells to the hypothalamus in the brain, which is the main biological clock. We study the impact of light exposure in the laboratory and in the field in human volunteers. Depending on the research questions, we'll use different methods to get at this. A common method to measure sleep-wake cycles is using a technique called actigraphy. Volunteers or participants would be wearing a watch-like device on their wrist, which records movements. It's kind of like a Fitbit, but on steroids and for research. These movements can then be used to infer sleep-wake behavior and its properties, including things like sleep onset, so, you know, after going to bed, when do you sleep, and sleep regularity, so how regular is sleep. Actigraphy is quite a mature technique with a range of commercial devices that you can purchase on the market. As I mentioned, light exposure is a dominant driver of the biological clock, and so measuring light is a key task that we need to do in research. And light dosimetry, on the other hand, so the measurement of light, is still a developing technique. Where most devices are research grade and produced in very small quantities, there's not really a huge market. But some actigraphs are also equipped with onboard light sensors through which light exposure will be measured on the wrist, so not in the relevant plane, which would be the eye. And due to the importance of light in controlling our physiology and behavior, what we did here was to develop a metadata standard that helps us document different types of research data, both from actigraphy and light exposure. What I'm showing you here is the typical pipeline that a lot of researchers will use for collecting data. Participants will, or patients will join a study, wear a specific measurement device, and out comes a data set. In actigraphy, there are specific different formats depending on the manufacturer. Sometimes these are binary and sometimes these are CSV files. Even the CSV files, there's different types of standards, and of course you'll then need to know, okay, what are the various pieces of information that you need to read the CSV file properly. Importantly, however, these data are not self-contained, and then there's a lot of information that describes the data that is not included in the data files themselves. So this includes things like information about the devices, what's the manufacturer, what's the make, information about the participants, age and sex, information about the acquisition, what's the sampling frequency, what's the context, and other things like what is the ethics protocol this is attached to, is there a publication that might be related to the data set, and any other bits that really form the metadata around a data set that we really want to document. What we've done here is we've developed and we propose a data schema that allows us to document these various free parameters of a study. Here we've devised a hierarchical study-centered or study-focused JSON schema, including the following information: study-level information, participant-level information, dataset-level information, and device-level information. Study-level information concerns all the information that describes a study, including whether there are different patient or participant groups and which exclusion criteria were used. Participant information is information about the participants, such as age and sex, and other relevant phenotypic information, if it's recorded. Dataset-level information is information about the dataset, including specific acquisition times or instructions given to participants. And finally, device-level information describes the devices or the sensors that were used. This includes the manufacturers and make, but also things like calibration status for light sensors or other specific sensor information. And of course, we tie all of these parts of the schema together so that we move away from a non-computable readable way to documenting this information, and rather turning it into a self-contained package. And of course, there's multiple ways that the schema can be used and saved. We think specifically that will facilitate five specific new directions or five specific aspects of research. Extensive and complete documentation of metadata allows for filtering and selection of data sets by specific metadata properties, for example, by searching for participants above a certain age. Data can be shared and reused in a harmonized way without having to figure out, okay, where is, for example, the sampling rate documented. Normative population level data sets can be built by different collaborating laboratories, and we're kind of proposing moving away from a sort of single laboratory approach. Ultimately, this could lead to a global data resource of data sets that are compatible and can be compared. And finally, new data coming in that is compatible with the old data or existing data can lead to better inferences about the underlying biology, ultimately solving the research questions that we care about. Of course, JSON files are very hard to write from scratch, and to this end, we've built a React web tool that makes the JSON file after filling out a form. So you would enter your information in the form, and the web tool will automatically generate the form based on the JSON schema specifications. And this is done using a tool called RJSF. The resulting JSON file can then be saved locally or stored and reloaded to and from a GitHub repository. And of course, we're looking at other cloud-based storage options as well. We think tooling like this is important for the adoption of a metadata standard. Of course, all of this is work in progress. We're currently in the final polishing stages, aiming for a release of the schema in mid-February. We'll also write up the schema and submit it for publication and ultimately open it up for public commenting. So our view here is to really build a community of researchers in our field who are interested in sharing data and working towards data standards. We see the schema as the first step in a larger effort to make sleep and circadian science fair. And of course, we're quite open to feedback as well about this process and eager to learn from other groups. Of course, this is a team effort resulting from the volunteer time of a total of 8 people across 6 institutions in 5 countries. I'm very grateful for having had the opportunity to work with this team of excellent scientists, and I really look forward to what's coming next. Parts of this work, and specifically the web tool, were financed by the Daylight Academy, for which we are very thankful. In the early days of the project, we also benefited greatly from participating in the Open Life Sciences program. We were part of the third cohort, and we were mentored by Mallory Freeberg. Thanks to the organizers of OLS as well, Berenice Batut, Malvika Sharan, Yo Yehudi, and Emmy Tsang. It was really a transformative experience participating in OLS and really being part of this wider community. Finally, I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. I really look forward to participating in the discussion. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to discuss things around research and open science, etc. Thank you.